Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Naked Departure Talk Show. This show is live and interactive, and we invite the audience to join the discussion. You can call into the studio by clicking on the Skype button which appears on the show page, or by calling us on 1-914-205-5805. Alternatively, you can post your questions or comments in the chat room, which also appears on the show page. Thank you for tuning in. The management of Naked Departure Talk Show does not represent, endorse, or validate any views, opinions, products, or services promoted on this show.
Good morning, it's Sherry Veronica, and with me in studio today is Charlie Spice. Charlie, welcome into our studio.
Welcome to the studio on a Sunday morning. Come on, Charlie Spice is always here. Thank you very much for having me.
Charlie, I want to get on you. Do you remember calling me one time all perturbed and huffy, puffy, trying to blow my little tail down, telling me to take your voice off of your blog talk?
I was very concerned that
why were you trying to take advantage of a little old me? And I'm like, what is wrong with this man? I always saw you as being like fierce and being very manly. I was like, what has happened? I say, freak him, I'm not taking him off. I like his voice. People have become accustomed to hearing him on Blog Talk. And if I ever have more radio stations, they will hear him. They will hear your voice. They don't know who you are. Charlie, how many times have you tried to break up with me? Charlie, I've never had one man that has broken up with me as many times as you have. Never. Sherry Veronica.
Fantastic.
Yeah, because
you know, I'm not sure if I should ever refer to you as Sherry or Veronica, so I always say Sherry Veronica.
But Sherry is good. Sherry is a pet name that I've always had. And if you could see the S in my middle name, you would figure out where it came from. And I have someone very close to me that had that particular name. So it's a name that, you know, I've embraced for many, many moons now. So Sherry.
Sherry. Okay, not a very good. I like Sherry. Okay, you know, I want to remind your listeners that this is just a conversation. That Sherry and I are just, we're just talking. We're just having a chat on Sunday mornings, and you're welcome to join us. People seem to think that this is an elaborate production where it's got very difficult production values.
No,
it's a conversation. That's all it is. So feel free to join us at any time. If it's too late to come on today, maybe next Sunday, or send in your messages to Sherry or to me, and we will discuss your views and your thoughts on the show on your behalf. If you have a problem with us mentioning your name, we can just go as anonymous,
exactly,
as far as you're concerned.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's just a conversation, guys, so feel free to join in. We've got some interesting things to discuss. I had a talk with a friend of mine in London this morning about... And the question she had was, people use many reasons why they get involved in the sex industry. Hard times, sexual abuse, many reasons. But you know what? If you are not the type of person to get into this industry, you're not going to do it regardless of hard times. I think people use excuses for their involvement with the sex industry. It's really their nature. Many of the people, well, this is not for everyone. This is not for the ones that were trafficked and forced and so on. No, we're talking about people who consciously and purposefully got into the industry. When you dig deep, it really is their personality, Sherry.
Yeah.
It's really what they do. It's their sexual fantasy that they're fulfilling.
Exactly.
The hard times only gave them an opportunity to do what they really wanted to do. Or what they fantasize about doing.
Exactly.
You know? But then they try to find all kinds of reasons because they need to make it socially acceptable. They want it to be more palatable for society that they're in the industry. So they come up with all these bipolar excuses and, you know what I mean, and I had no choice excuse. Oh, no, you always have a choice because some women, I don't care what you do, what hard times they have, they're never going to get into the sex industry. They'll end up sweeping the streets.
Exactly.
They'll end up doing whatever type of work.
I'd rather be a murderer, like, you know, like that guy from London, Jack the Ripper. I'd rather someone give me that job to do than to be a prostitute.
Yes. Well, yeah, there again, there's some people just, they will not do it. So there's a percentage of the market of individuals in the industry who enjoy what they do, or they're living out a fantasy.
You know what puzzled me, though, about what you're saying? They said before the Americans went into Iraq and devastated it, there was hardly any sort of prostitution. It was something that, if it was happening, it was underground. And they said that after what happened in Iraq happened, that there are a whole lot of Iraqi women who are selling their bodies. Now, I don't know if they were raped or if it's the dust from all the bombs or if they are shell-shocked, if it's PTSD. I don't know what it is, but that kind of caught my attention, that women in that part of the world came out to be whores when on a regular day it was something unheard of.
Yes. Well, when there's so much devastation in a country, political, economical violence, and particularly when there's soldiers involved, prostitution seems to be the end result. Because times are hard. I mean, you're bombed. Your house just got blown to bits, and you've got all those American dollars around you. It's not difficult. It's not a big stretch of the imagination to think that prostitution will evolve from that sort of situation. And I've always been very fascinated with women who wear the chador, which is the thing that covers the face and their entire bodies. I've always thought of having some of those ladies as Charlie Spice angels. That is a fantasy of mine.
Oh,
I'm thinking
God.
Of going to Iraq and setting up a Charlie Spice.
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
That is no, I'm only joking. But,
yeah, I know.
I've always been curious about. As a matter of fact, I've actually been approached by many women from the Islamic community over the years who are already in the industry and wanted to become part of my network. They're based in somewhere in India, somewhere in Dubai, actually, and they're very successfully conducting or applying their trade as sex workers or escorts, prostitutes, whatever you will. And I always wondered what repercussions did they have to face with family and relatives and friends, because they come from a society where showing your face to a strange man is unheard of. So, interesting. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think that's interesting also. I also think that I had a thought just now when you were speaking. See, when I can't speak, I forget. I have to start writing things down, but it was around the same topic. But I can't remember what I wanted to say.
No, it's okay. It's okay. No, we'll continue. We'll come back to you. It will come back to you. And it's amazing that some of these Islamic or Asian women who are fully covered with the burqas and the chadors, they have some of the most amazing designer fashions underneath all of that veiling, you know. They've got, and it's ironic that you spend so much money if you're from a wealthy family and you buy all of the Louis Vuitton and the Jimmy Choo and the Christian Louboutin gear, but then you've got to cover it. That's funny.
Right.
So it's I've been told by some women, because they would never show me, but I've been told by some friends of mine that these women have exposed themselves to women, and underneath there you've got the latest designer fashions. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
And they're beautiful as well, beautiful ladies.
I cannot believe that.
Something this morning in our conversation.
Uh-huh.
That you wanted to bring up on the show, where some woman in Barbados had a sexual experience. Could you perhaps reiterate that for the benefit of your listeners?
Yeah, I will. But it's just shocking me that I cannot. I just had part of my brain, it just collapsed, totally just collapsed, because something that I wanted to say, and I was waiting for you to get done to say it, and that part, it actually, and I've actually noticed it, that even though
you might think it is dementia, but I know you're getting on in age.
Felt part of my brain collapse.
I'll tell you what it is. It could be brain overload. You have to deal with so many.
Yeah, I do.
So much information you've got to filter that it's no. I'm surprised you can remember anything at all unless it's written down, because your body, your brain starts. I'm having the same problem. I factor so many things into my brain. If I don't write it down, I forget, and I wonder, am I getting old or what? But it's not necessarily that. Yes, we are getting old, but it's not necessarily
I got a blog in, and I spent an entire night talking to a very, very beautiful lady out of Barbados, where she claims that she travels a lot on her business for her work, and when she travels, she's fine. She gets along very well with people. She does not need to medicate, quote unquote. She does what she has to do. She shops. She eats very good meals. And on her return to Barbados, from the time she is in Barbados, she's under the influence of cocaine. She cannot live in Barbados without being under the influence of cocaine. She doesn't do marijuana. That's lightweight. And she is something that she's figuring out now. She's under care, and she's trying to figure out that now. But anyhow, she said that she was approached by a man who took pity on her and wanted her to see something that he had in his phone. And when he showed her the video, it was a video of her in a room with about 10 other men, black, beige men. And when she described what was happening to her, she was inconsolable. We talked. She had me up all night, but she was inconsolable because.
What happened to her? What was happening in the video?
She said that she witnessed men pushing their fists up in places that a fist should not be, and she said up to their toes, all of their toes disappeared inside an orifice, a place where babies come from, and. She said,
so hang on a minute. You're talking men putting their fists and their toes in her
their
vagina.
Feet. Yeah, their feet. They said the foot went right in until the toes disappeared.
Okay.
And she said that she did not feel any tearing. She did not feel any sore. She did not feel anything when she was about her business the next day or the next week. She said she felt nothing. She could not tell that something like that happened to her because she had no effects from it. She didn't feel anything. And I know that someone was saying to me, I was speaking to a nurse yesterday, and I brought up the subject. In fact, she brought it up because she saw it on NakedDeparture.com. And she said that cocaine, when you hear like Novocaine and other things that have cane at the end of it, they said they use a lot of cocaine to numb patients, to numb people. And she said that it's probably that saved her. It has a numbing effect. So even if she had discomfort, by the time the numbing wore off, she would have been healed and felt better anyhow, so she would never have known it.
So this is something that happened because she was under the influence of cocaine.
Yes,
so I imagine. So the reason she contacted you is to discuss her challenges with drug use.
No, the reason she contacted me was because she is afraid that there is evidence floating around Barbados, because we know Bajan men. Don't come here and talk no crap today, Charlie. You know that they will have shown their friends. You know that it may not get back to her per se, but that video is going around somewhere.
Well, sorry, Bajan men, I can't defend you today. I'm going to have to, give it up. I would imagine that people are sharing that video. So that video will probably come to you at some point in time. But it's interesting that she doesn't have the need for drug use and abuse in other countries than she does in Barbados.
Yeah, she does
not. To have a sexual experience like that and not be aware of it, I mean, someone had to show her for her to be aware. That is, she really needs help.
Yeah, she's getting it. But like I said, she thought of suicide. That would be one of the first things that jumped into her mind. And you know, she has a really hard time dealing with it. She is in the she's leaving Barbados, and she said that once she leaves, she'll never return. She'll never return to Barbados. So she even called it making a naked departure. She said, "I'm going to make a naked departure from here."
Wow, that is, you know, it's amazing that the type of objects that are placed inside a woman's vagina, and in many cases, the woman herself is self-inflicted because of some fantasy. I have a friend who is a gynecologist and an obstetrician. I hope I've pronounced that the right way. And he said to me that when he worked in the emergency section of the hospital, he was amazed at some of the cases that came in where women and men placed foreign objects in their anal cavity or the vaginal cavity. And in some cases, these objects got stuck, or maybe they were not stuck, but they caused so much damage internally that they needed emergency care. Small objects also were placed inside and got lodged in there. They could not remove these objects, so they needed him to remove the objects. The elasticity of a woman's vagina is sometimes quite unbelievable. I mean, for someone to put an entire fist, in some cases a foot, I mean, I have a size 10 and a half. Please don't tell anyone that. I don't want anyone knocking on my door.
That's a very small foot for a man. Or were you talking about something else?
Well, you know, if you listened to the show last week, you would know that everything I have is in moderation.
Yeah, a 10 and a half foot, that's a real small foot. Oh, my God.
I know what to do now if I'm not able to sexually satisfy anyone.
Oh, my God.
I will call on the foot.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. That's very demeaning. That's very demeaning. Yeah.
No, but with permission, of course. I wouldn't do it without permission, of course. It's also very sad that people, men, would take advantage of a woman who is under the influence of alcohol or drugs. That is something that I could not do.
Yeah, black men.
It's very unfortunate.
I don't know if you saw it on nakeddepartures.com, the website, but a lot of black men came forward and said it's a black disease. Black men treat each other. Even they treat one another. The black community treat one another extremely poorly, and they were not surprised by it at all. You know, for the most part, I thought they were going to crucify her, but we didn't get that many in there. A lot of people were actually sympathetic, and they understand that just as long as you are in Barbados and you ever find yourself hurt or in need of help, you are up shit creek. It ain't gonna happen. That's when.
I don't, I don't want to ask any question or get any answer that would give the identity of this person, but I would love to know the level of society this person is from. Is this person a very prominent individual? Is this a middle management level person,
This is top tier person, and they are usually featured in your newspapers, you know, talking and giving advice. And
well, this video is definitely going to surface and will create a feeding frenzy in terms of readership on Blog Talk, on your
yeah, she'll be gone. I'm sure
because they're not going to keep that secret.
Yeah, she'll be gone by then.
Well, still, it will still follow her because this is a global village that we live in now with the internet. So it will follow her. And
it reminds me. It's not as bad. This other scenario is not as bad, but it reminds me of this particular incident that's happening now as we speak in Trinidad, where a politician's wife, the ex-boyfriend, sent out a videotape of them doing the nasty, and it got so bad that the senator or whoever he is, he had to speak about it. He says, yeah, my wife was in a relationship for 2 years with this particular man, but now she's my wife. Now she's with me. And I don't know. What do you think about that if you were married and you saw your wife asking about the tape and, you know, have things going into her throat and blah, blah, blah. What would you defend that?
So, this relationship or this sexual relationship was going on while she was married to the politician?
Okay, the politician took her from the man.
Oh, it was happening before. Okay, it happened before.
She was in a relationship with a man, and this particular man came and horned the man. And he married the girl. It wasn't just a regular horn. He actually married the woman. And the man that was scorned, he put out a tape of them in an intimate relations, you know.
You know, this speaks to the hypocrisy that exists in the Caribbean, and where everything is okay as long as nobody knows about it. Because, you know, you don't expect that your girlfriend or your wife never had a life before. And people tend to say to me, well, I could not be in a serious relationship with her because she is a prostitute or was a prostitute. But, you know, how many sexual encounters women who are not prostitutes had before she married you? There seems to be an acceptance of anything as long as nobody knows about it.
No, come on, but Charlie, come on now. A prostitute has, like, how many men a night? Probably 10? I don't know, 15?
So what does it matter if it's 15 a night, 10 a night, or the woman that you're about to marry had 50 boyfriends before you, and God knows how many times she had sex with them? What's the difference? I don't see a difference. So do you say, well, I only did a little bit of sin? I didn't do a lot of sin, so I'm going to go to heaven?
No, it's not sin. It's not sin at all. It's not sin at all.
I'm just doing a comparison.
Yeah,
there, you know?
But I mean, no man wants to know that the whole of, especially when you live in a small community like Barbados, not usually, I'm sure some people are freaks, but usually most men don't want to know that every time they go to the movie, they're sitting down next to a man that knows what their wife looks like, or if they go in the supermarket, the attendant is this. If they go to the bank,
totally
the bank man had her.
I totally agree with that, but I think they're a bit too harsh on people that are in the industry, that because they have so much sexual activity, because you don't know what your partner got up to before she married you. And why should you care? If you love the woman, she's your woman, she's good to you, then it doesn't really matter as far as it
should matter. That's a male perspective, and I'm glad that you're male and I'm female, because I can give you the female part of it. Yeah,
sure.
It does matter, because even with me as a woman, if I'm with a man and he presents himself a certain way, but then after we are in a relationship, I realize that he treated other women poorly, that, you know, or he did certain things. That affects me, because I'm always figuring it's only a matter of time, because if that guy has a certain spirit or a certain personality, yeah, he likes me now, but how long before that part comes out and affects me? So I think a lot of things that you did in the past, people have to look at, even though the man may not be showing it to you or the woman may not be showing you that part, it's part of who they are, your past. It's who you are.
Sherry, let me say something to that. A person may have had a very active sexual life before they met you. I mean, very active. And as a result, you then prejudge them because, you know, maybe I shouldn't take a chance with this person because he's had too many girlfriends in the past, and he may cheat on me because he's had so many partners in the past. But you know what? There are those people who may not have had a lot of activity, but it is in their nature. They have this fantasy, and they may start after they marry you. They may not have started before. So, you know, you don't know who is going to be.
That's why I don't believe in marriage. That's why I do, you know, because a lot of times you could actually love someone into cheating because you can be doing something so good to them that they are wondering, wait, there's more of her out there, there's more of this out there, and you're thinking you're giving this person the best that you can, and this person saying, geez, on bread, my, I've never had it so good. It must, if I got him, there must be more of this out there, and you could actually love someone into checking something out. So now,
I've known many women over the years who became extremely sexually active later in life, after 30, after 40, in some cases after 50.
Mm-hmm.
Very sexually active and doing things presently that they never thought that they would ever do, and enjoying it and wanting more of it and feeling very liberated because they figure, well, you know what, I've paid my dues, I've lived my life, I can do what the hell I want.
Right.
And they go crazy.
Right.
So I think it all comes down to individuality. And if you have an individual who is good to you, you know, I think you take it like that. I don't like this prejudging and judging based on scenarios and so on. It's all about here and now for me. I've had relationships also with girls in the industry, and people have said to me, how could you have a girlfriend who is an escort? And she sees, she goes up with men, but men have, because Beijing men can't do that. Beijing men are so possessive. They cannot even imagine another man or their woman smiling at another man. It may just be a friendly smile. And I didn't think I could do that before, but I've had relationships with girls in the industry who would go out and do their business. And, you know, when we were together, it was quite normal. And it did not take a lot of transition for me to accept that, because when she was with me, she was good. She was with me. Yeah, and if I met her and she was already in the industry, then I have to accept that. That is.
But did you ever ask her? Well, did you ask her how was last night? Let's say she went out on whatever service rendering.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
Would you ever ask her, well, how was your night?
No. Never.
Okay.
No. I would be afraid it might be better. or he may have a bigger foot than I
am. Oh my God. Wow.
No, that was one of the rules. We would never discuss her work, you know. And it's happened a number of times. And it's, you know, I guess I'm wired differently now. this industry has changed me totally. I've had the opportunity recently to talk to people's ability or inability to have normal mainstream relationships, particularly here in Barbados. And it's amazing how in the industry has changed the way I navigate society here, the way I interact. The rules of engagement for society for me are vastly different to anyone else. If I talk to a lady here, she has to be concerned with a number of things which are above and beyond what she's normally concerned about, meeting a guy. She has to be concerned, well, is Charlie talking to me because he likes me or because he wants to recruit me? Is Charlie talking? Does he really like me, or is this part of his persona to be just charming and to be flirtatious because it's just business as usual? And what about the family? What would my family members say knowing that I'm dating someone who's in the adult entertainment industry? Are they going to trust that he's not trying to recruit me? I mean, there's just so many challenges. I've given up on it. I've given up on it. And there is also a psychological scenario that I'm going to share. I never thought I'd be saying this publicly, but I have created a persona, a character, or a characterization of myself being in this industry, where once from being an escort myself and also being...
This part of the show is done on Blog Talk. We are continuing streaming on another line. Thank you so very much for joining us today. This is Sherry Veronica. Bye-bye.
Unfortunately, we've come to the end of this episode of Naked Departure Talk Show. If you would like to appear as a guest on the show, simply email our producer at nakeddeparture@gmail.com or message us directly from the show page. We would love to have you as a guest on the show. You can listen to a repeat of this episode at any time in the future. Simply go to our show page at blogtalkradio.com/nakeddeparture and follow the link. I would like to thank our guests, the discussion panel, and the production team. I would also like to thank the listeners for tuning in and giving us an audience. We will now leave you with the sweet jazzy sounds of Trade Wind by Alan Trotman and Jonathan Butler.